Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Free Friday. It's a Thursday, April 11, 2024. That is the date. Welcome in to the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host,
former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman,
Gabe Kuhn on XIG underscore Kuhn 71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show, as I am every day. That would be Connor Dunning on XIC Dunning 929. Connor, what's a word?
What's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much. Hanging in there. Good day today. Sun's out. Feeling good. Yesterday I was a little down in the morning just because of the weather. But now I'm feeling all right, man. I'm feeling all right. But we have 3 hours of talk, a full show on the way. Courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. And we are absolutely loaded. I'm going to start with the guests. I'm going to lay those out first because we have our showboats guests. We had a delay yesterday because of rain and inclement weather, so they pushed back practice a little bit. But Delrick Abrams Jr. will join at 4:30. He's a cornerback for the Memphis Showboats. And I got to say, when it comes to guys that have stories that we bring on here, we've had a few. Darius Victor, I mean, he was for the first 5 years of his life a refugee. Like, we've had some really good stories. Delrick is a fun story in itself because he has a couple of stops that are worth discussing. One, in college, he was at JUCO. He's a JUCO-made guy from Independence Community College. He was actually on season 3 of Last Chance U with old Jason Brown. You know a lot about Jason Brown, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, why he was out, what he said to a German player. Yeah, that he's out and he does his own podcast, but he played for him, Delrick did. And then he also ended up at Colorado. So I think it's worth discussing. He probably would want to be at Colorado now as a cornerback with Deion.
I think Deion would be able to help out.
That would be pretty nice,
yes.
If Delrick had, you know, if his timeline got pushed back a little bit. He's 27 years old. He kicked around the NFL a little bit. Now he was in the USFL, now in the UFL. He would have been, you know, it would have served him well to be at Colorado right now. But we'll talk to him about that at 4:30. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show. And then 6 o'clock, we have to get into some NFL draft. We have all the college basketball stuff behind us besides the coaching carousel. And we'll have to talk about that. Cal was introduced at Arkansas. He didn't call the Hogs, which was, I mean, dude.
Controversial.
It is. It should be. It's what you got to do.
It's also the most Cal thing ever.
Yes, but he did not call the Hogs. He got introduced, and it looks like Scott Drew's going to stay at Baylor, so they're striking out a little bit with that Kentucky job. But now that all that the games are behind us, we have to get to the NFL draft, and it'll be at the end of the month. Chad Ryder from NFL.com, he posts mock drafts just about every week leading up to the draft. Make sure you go check that out at NFL.com. But he will join at 6 o'clock. We'll talk through the quarterbacks. I'll get to some offensive linemen because that's what I have to do, right? It's just on brand for me. But Chad Ryder will join at 6 o'clock. But between now and then, we'll have plenty to talk about with Scott Drew staying at Baylor. The Masters open today, so that's nice. Looks like Tiger Woods birdied number one, so that non-sex pact is paying off for him. So that's nice to see. That leaderboard, as it stands right now, Bryson DeChambeau at the very top, 7-under. He's done for the day.
Gross.
Danny Willett is tied for second with Matt Fitzpatrick. But Danny Willett's done for the day. Matt Fitzpatrick just got through 13. He's at 4-under. And by the way, that's advanced analytics coming through for you. He charts every single shot he has ever taken in his life. It's a lot. It's a lot.
I really hope this doesn't end with Bryson at the top. Please, no.
Yeah.
Give us anybody else.
Listen, Bryson is due for a tough day. This was just a good day for him. It's Bryson. It's Bryson. He'll be a head case. He'll blow up.
Was that hope or prediction?
That's I think a little bit of both. A little bit of both. I'm telling my story there. Ryan Fox and Byung-Hyun Ahn are tied at fourth with Will Zalatoris, Wyndham Clark at 3-under. Scottie Scheffler tied for 9th through 11 at 2-under, so he's still playing relatively well, although people expected him to go on a tear, but you know how consistent he is. So we'll see how that all plays out. We'll also talk some NBA as the Nuggets handled business last night. That game went exactly how I thought it would.
Exactly.
I mean, I said in the first half, especially on a back-to-back going out to Denver in the altitude, I said they'd probably, the Timberwolves, play a good first half, and they were up by 3 after the first half. They had a nice little run to start the second half, then they just completely, everything fell apart. But now the Nuggets hold the number one seed. Jokic was phenomenal last night. And it feels like copy and paste, I always say that. But 41, 11, and 7, 3 steals on 16 for 20 from the field. He was perfect from 3, 2 for 2 from 3, and he got everybody else involved. I mean, this is why when we talked about this game yesterday, you have to lean on the Nuggets at this point in the season, especially when you're talking about the Thunder and the Timberwolves at the top of the Western Conference. The Nuggets have been there, done that. They understand what's expected of them, and they absolutely took care of business. And now, like, looking at the Nuggets holding home court advantage throughout the playoffs, that's tough for anybody in the Western Conference. It matters a whole lot.
It was a huge factor last playoffs.
I know you're a big altitude guy. I have bought into it, especially at looking at last year. That's going to be huge. And anybody having to travel into Denver and trying to steal one, because you have to steal one now to be able to win a series against them, it feels damn near impossible. It's very hard to do.
You know what they say, Connor Dunning, big altitude guy.
You are a big altitude guy. I will give you that.
But for real, like today I've seen a lot of discourse about the MVP and how it would be boring if it went to Nikola Jokic. But I understand that there's some argument out there for Luka. But when you see Jokic's impact and you go and you look at his game logs and what he's been doing this season, I just think he has to be the MVP. He's averaging 26, 12, and 9 on almost 60% shooting.
Luka, that's cool and all, 33. He leads the league in scoring, and he's got 9 rebounds, 9 assists per game. All well and good. Nuggets right now, though, number one spot in the West. And they only have one all-star, and that's the guy at the top of the whole thing.
And it's not like he's been coasting. His last 10, he's averaging 39 and 13 on 40% shooting from 3.
You can get as tired as you want of Jokic winning MVPs, but it's written. You have to give him the MVP. They're the number one seed in the Western Conference, and he paces the game perfectly. He has brought that team together. I feel like they have the best chemistry in the NBA, and most of that is because Nikola Jokic is one of the best ball movers in the NBA, especially as a big. I don't care how tired you are of it. I looked at the probabilities on Basketball Ref last night of him to win the MVP, 55% chance. And Luka, I think, it's 16%. I still don't really get why SGA is not up there, like over Luka. I guess the statistics will tell you a little bit differently because Luka's outdoing him in every statistical category. But, I mean, he brought that young Thunder team along. I think he should be probably second in MVP voting, but it looks like it might be Luka when it's all said and done, because the Mavs have been really good down the stretch of the season.
They've been excellent. I would probably have Luka number two right now, just because I think that SGA, I still think he's about a year away from being a true MVP contender, and I do think that the free throw thing bothers some, and that might be working against him, because a lot of his points do come from the free throw line, but, you know, that's the game that he plays, and if he gets the whistle, he gets the whistle. I'm not going to hate on him too much for that, and Harden, he won many MVPs, you know, getting to the free throw line a lot. But it's just right now it has to be Jokic, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think the Timberwolves are a good team. I just don't like the draw that they could potentially get. Them or the Thunder, quite frankly. Well, Thunder may get the Pelicans, so we'll see how that works out. But if the Timberwolves have to deal with the Suns, the Kings, the Lakers, the Warriors in the first round, I don't know if they have enough closers. I don't know. Like, Anthony Edwards is fantastic, and he can close games, and we've seen him do that. But the consistency with which you have to do that in a playoff situation when you get into close games, I don't trust the Timberwolves enough. I just don't. They haven't had enough cracks at this thing to make it happen. Now, Karl Anthony Towns may be coming back. That adds another bit of scoring to their offense. But I honestly think that with Naz Reid inserted in the starting lineup, they have actually played a whole lot better. They've been solid defensively. Offensively, they've been very good. And Karl Anthony Towns is a guy who just – one thing I've noticed about the Timberwolves without Karl Anthony Towns is their shot selection is a whole lot better with Karl Anthony Towns out of the lineup for obvious reasons.
Yeah, the only wrinkle to that is when it comes to the playoffs, it's going to be interesting to see how much Rudy Gobert is going to be able to stay on the court. And if Rudy Gobert can't stay on that court, it's going to be very possible for them to run a Cat and Naz Reid lineup, which we've seen in the past be very effective. Yeah. I mean, it was effective against the Grizzlies once upon a time in a playoff series. So I'm curious to see what the Timberwolves look like. I would still believe that they would be favored in a series and probably should be favored, but if they go up against one of those veteran teams, youth against age in the playoffs is always an interesting matchup.
Yes, 100%. Now, Grizzlies did play last night, and they lost 110-98. No one wants them to win the rest of the way. They have the Lakers and the Nuggets at home to end the season. Tomorrow they'll be playing against the Lakers at 7 o'clock, and then they'll play against the Nuggets at 2:30 on Sunday. Only thing from last night that I can really say about the Grizzlies is Shake LaRavia. I don't have like a strong take on him ever fitting in as a real rotational piece for this team. Right now, some of these stats you can view as very empty, and that's fine, and I completely understand that. But 8 for 11 from 3 last night, 32 points. It was his best. I mean, I've said this down the stretch of the season now that he's been healthy. It was his best game in a Grizzlies uniform. I've said that time after time.
Like three
after
or four
time.
Times, yeah.
Yeah. But 32 points, 8 for 11 from the three-point line. He's starting to look a lot better as a defender. Like, he's moving his feet a little better. I guess my strongest take that I can give about Jake LaRavia is if going into next year, most people had given up on him. If going into next year he's your 12th, 13th, 14th guy, that's fine. That's totally fine. Keep him on the roster, see what he can give you. You did have hope with him at the very beginning of this thing. He was the 19th overall pick. Stick with him for another year. Let Zaire do what he needs to do. Move on. But Jake LaRavia has shown me something down the stretch of the season where Zaire Williams has been hurt.
I think there's nothing wrong with that opinion. I think that you are allowed to hold the belief that late season NBA basketball can get weird, and we have seen some stat lines that have been fraudulent. But at the end of the day, you know, for his last 16 games, he's shooting, I think, 38-39% from three. In his last 10, he's shooting 44% from three. What we've been saying all season is that we've been waiting for a stretch of health from Jake LaRavia. We've also been waiting to see his confidence, and he is finally playing basketball with confidence. Does some of that have to do with the competition he may be playing?
Sure.
Sure. At the end of the day, though, he's still playing with more confidence, and I do think he has earned at least the idea of being that guy on the bench. It's just because at the end of the day, I think it's going to come down to Zaire Williams or Jake LaRavia. LaRavia's contract makes more sense. And if he is one of the guys at the end of your bench, I have no problem with that whatsoever. He has shown flashes of possibly being something. I still have doubts about him ever being a key piece or an effective piece on a true contending team. But if he is a breaking case of emergency guy that you have at the end of the bench in a John Conchar-esque, you know, type of role when the team is really contending, that's fine with me. I still want them to try to make sure that they can find a spot for a guy like Lamar Stevens over prioritizing Jake LaRavia. And if a trade comes up, I still think that Jake LaRavia could potentially get moved. But I think that his late season play has been encouraging. It's okay to give him credit for that while still saying some of this may be a bit fraudulent, but it's still really exciting to see that he's playing with confidence and that shooting is there. 44% from three in his last 10. That's a pretty big sample size. He's got about 20% of the season now where he's playing really well.
I mean, if Vince and Gigi did not come along the way they did this year, we'd be taking a little more stock in what Jake LaRavia is doing right now.
Oh, we'd be freaking out.
Yes,
if Gigi and Vince never happened, we would be
There's something there. Like what the Grizzlies originally thought they could get out of Jake LaRavia is actually happening. we would be talking about it differently, but because they're lousy with wings, they have a bunch of wings, and Gigi and Vince are part of that rotation now, Jake LaRavia is just going to have to take a back seat and continue to show this.
If anything, too, it might be showing other teams, hey, there might be something here with Jake LaRavia.
Maybe.
Come and get him.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a trade sweetener in the draft, and you never know. Hey, Timberwolves, you want him? You want him? Naz Reid, you want him? Jake LaRavia for Naz Reid? Straight up, who says no?
Yeah, but seriously.
It's okay to be excited about it. It's okay to be excited about it.
Excited is the wrong word. Encouraged is the right word. Yes.
Because he's never going to be in the... He's like, next season, if Jake LaRavia is playing 29 minutes a game in the last eight games of the season, something disastrous has happened.
Yes,
okay?
The other thing, but like, I think about what I was saying a month and a half ago about Jake LaRavia. It's substantially better. A month and a half ago, I'm saying he cannot keep up. He's not athletic enough. On the defensive end, I can't see him ever being a good NBA player. And now he blocked Giannis when they played the Bucks the other night in the win. I mean, he's putting up threes with confidence, made 8 of 11 last night. You're starting to see the wheels start to spin. And then you do have the question about, okay, in the end of the day, as much as we tried to, you know, immediately make a draw a conclusion, a generalization about Jake LaRavia, maybe a lot of it is he was very hurt. He just never could be on the floor.
Unbelievable injury luck.
He could never stay on the floor for more than two or three games at a time. That's what happened. And now he's on the floor playing consistently, and he's starting to get his feet under him.
So, yeah, he's only played 33 games this year.
There's encouragement.
And half of those games he's played really well, and half of those, or he's played well, not really well, and half of those games he's played well, and the other half he's been pretty bad. So, who knows?
Just,
I think it's totally fine if he's at the end of this bench next season. He's got some more trade value. His contract's not that big at all. I'm happy for him. At the end of the day, I'm happy that Jake LaRavia is having a bit of a moment in the NBA.
Yes.
Good for him.
A month and a half ago, I thought that wasn't even possible. But now you're seeing it is. There's some possibilities there. He may be able to fit in somewhere, whether it's the Grizzlies or elsewhere. Now, John Calipari was introduced at Arkansas last night, and he's a salesman, as he normally is. He did not call the Hogs, which I think a lot of Arkansas fans are taking exception to, but there'll be time to do that. He'll be okay. But he is a great salesman. We understand that. It was kind of funny to see. He said, you know, I had a team meeting. I met with the team. There's only one guy that is left on the roster, and that's their walk-on, Lawson Blake. He said he met with the team, though. I don't think Lawson Blake was actually there. He said there were three guys that showed up, and they're all in the transfer portal. So maybe Caleb Battle was there, some guys like that. But they're going to literally, from scholarship, from they have 13 scholarships to deal with, he's going to have to give out 13 going into next season. That is actually very tough to think about. I think when we talk about coaches that I trust to get that done, to actually fill out a roster, you know, obviously we have a guy in Memphis and Penny Hardaway who I trust to fill out a roster. You can be skeptical about what those pieces look like and how they fit together. But of all the coaches in college basketball, to fill out an entire roster, I think John Calipari would be at the top of my list. I think he can get that done, and I don't have many reservations about it.
Sure. And, you know, speaking honestly, if I were an Arkansas player, I would probably be considering sticking around.
Because, well, but does he want you? If you're in the transfer portal, does he want you?
You've given up your scholarship. That's a very good point.
Does he want you to come back?
Does he need your scholarship?
Yes.
But if you're somebody like Battle, it makes a lot of sense to come back, especially if you have NBA aspirations, because we know that Cal is very good at getting people to the NBA.
Well, but I have real questions about Calipari wanting to bring back Caleb Battle. Caleb Battle's a big volume shooter.
He's
probably going to want in. And like these freshmen that he's likely going to bring in, he's got two freshmen that have already asked out of their letters of intent with Kentucky that are likely going to flip to Arkansas. He's probably going to want those guys to take majority of the shots. And Caleb Battle, I wonder how that type of fit would really jive with what he wants to do in year one at Arkansas.
Sure.
So we'll see. But he did meet with the team. He said it was three guys that are all in the transfer portal. But then it leads us to today, the Kentucky job. We've been trying to talk through this, and you know, the wish list was very clear. Danny Hurley was in there. Nate Oates was in there. And then, of course, Scott Drew. Nate Oates said no. Danny Hurley said no. And today, I didn't really think that this would be where we're at right now. But Kentucky struck out with Scott Drew. He's staying at Baylor. He put out a statement saying he loves it. He talked with God last night and prayed to God, and he's staying at Baylor. And this is the one reservation I brought up about Scott Drew. What is being reported is that his family's been raised there for 20 years. He's got three kids, college and high, early college, late high school age, and they've all grown up their entire lives in Waco. And he's been there 20 years, and he's created a dream job for himself. He will be a statue coach outside of their arena by the time he retires. And when you have that much sweat equity built up, and your family's been raised in one spot, all these personal reasons coalesce, you ended up staying. That was my one reservation, and it came to life. And now it feels like Kentucky, because it was hard to move on for Scott Drew, feels like Kentucky has struck out. They have struck out on their top three options. Now, of the three options, Danny Hurley and Nate Oates, I don't feel like those were legit no's, because no one really ever had thought, because Nate Oates said it immediately, I'm not going anywhere. And then Danny Hurley was very clear, even after the national championship, I'm probably not going to leave. I feel like the only real true no is Scott Drew to this point. So then the question is, where do you turn? Where do you turn? Because right now, there's one name that I look at where you're either on the same platform with Cal or it's a step up. And that's what Kentucky fans want. And that's Billy Donovan. But if you want Billy Donovan, you have to wait 2-3 weeks till he's done with his NBA season. And the worst possible thing that could happen for Kentucky,
they make a run.
In this particular situation, is if, let's say, the Bulls make a run, they wait around for Billy Donovan, he ends up...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Getting knocked out in the first round of the NBA playoffs, and then you ask him to come be the coach for $11 million a year, and he says no. Then you have struck out completely. You've wasted time on the transfer portal, and who you're going to bring in at that point. So that's the only name that you look at as, okay, this is on par with what we wanted to replace John Calipari with. He's the same level of name. He's won national championships. He's done things that we want to accomplish going into the future. But you have to ask yourself if you want to wait for him. Now, the other names, Bruce Pearl, Sean Miller, Mark Pope, played at Kentucky, won a national championship in 96 at Kentucky. He's been at BYU and Utah Valley. He's only made two NCAA tournaments since he's been at BYU, but he's done an overall good job, and he's relatively young in the coaching game. But I think, you know, their next guy that they turn to, if it's not Billy Donovan, has to be Bruce Pearl, right? As much as Bruce has, you know, been obnoxious, he's got the FBI investigations, he had the show cause, even though the show cause was for freaking Aaron Kraft going to a barbecue. It's kind of ridiculous looking back at it. But with Bruce Pearl, you know that wherever he goes, he does well. It was Tennessee, he did well. Goes to Auburn, they never really had anything going in the 21st century. He's turned that around and made them into a yearly competitor, a yearly championship contender. I guess that could be the next sort of step here. But once you get past Billy Donovan, Connor, everything's a step down. And that's the reality that Kentucky's being met with at this current moment.
Yeah, it does feel like Billy Donovan is their last hope at hitting that home run hire. But at the end of the day, all the names that you still listed are would be a solid hire for Kentucky. It's just not the perfect God, get in the way of good.
I get that whole thing.
Right. But you did hit the nail on the head with Scott Drew. The only concern that you had was he has been there for 20 years, and there is a lot of emotional ties that he still has there. And at the end of the day, it feels like his family just said, nah, man, we're not moving to Lexington. All our life is here. You have a great team. You have a great situation at Baylor.
You still
Let's just stay here. He does have the second-ranked recruiting class coming in. So, you know, that's just maybe it was too much to give up for him. So it makes a lot of sense. It's surprising, but it makes a lot of sense. So An interesting name that I did see, ESPN has a list out right now, was Brad Underwood. Brad Underwood was listed from Illinois. That wouldn't be a terrible hire for them, but it does, you know.
But again, it's sort of in that Bruce Pearl mode.
No, 100%.
Mode where it's like, it's still a step down from John Calipari.
It's without
a doubt. And you cannot avoid that fact. The only name that will be on that same level as Billy Donovan, but you still have to wait 2 weeks.
It is a ton of risk.
Completely screw your transfer portal hopes. And if he says no on the back end, that's the worst thing that could happen to you.
The funniest way this ends, though, is Rick Pitino. I'm kind of rooting for it now. It's never going to happen.
Remember,
but
Richard Pitino Richard Pitino came up, too. His son came up. So there's that, Richard Pitino. So I don't know. This is just, I mean,
I'm surprised it's gone this long.
I was going to say, I you know, earlier this week, I figured Kentucky would be able to land on somebody and figure it out. And it feels like we're nearing sort of the striking out and sort of being screwed over. If you're Kentucky, you are, if you're a Kentucky fan, you're stressing out about this next hire. You have to be concerned about where this is headed. Because after Billy Donovan, it's just steps down, step down, step down.
I'm curious. There's something that I brought up before the show when we were just, you know, going over what we were going to talk about. Yesterday, a story came out on Twitter about Scott Drew and Kentucky fans where, you know, everybody knows he tweeted out that photo that he was in at some restaurant. The story was Kentucky fans figured out what restaurant that was, called the restaurant, and had the waitress give a message to him from Big Blue Nation. I can't help but think that might hurt. I think that hurt them. I think doing things like that drives people away.
Right. There's a double-edged sword with that, though, because Big Blue Nation's very rabid about their their team, and they want success, and they will do anything to try to achieve that success. You want that from a fan base.
Right.
Like, you don't shy away from that. But when it gets to the full fanaticism of leaving reviews at the Mexican restaurant and calling up the Mexican restaurant to have the waiter come by and say, hey, we need you in Lexington, that's just a step too far, in my opinion. I don't think that's ultimately what shifted his mindset.
No, I don't. But it's probably a factor.
But that's got to be a factor for anybody who's going to take that job. Because with that type of fanaticism, you know the pressure is just huge. You just know the pressure's massive. And John Calipari, being able to last that for 15 years and do what he did, it's just damn impressive. It's super impressive. But we're at an interesting spot now with this Kentucky job that I didn't think we'd be at. In the end of the day, I thought that they would be able to get their first or second choice. I don't think that the Danny Hurley, Nate Oates thing, I don't want to count that as a no, because I think both of those guys weren't really they were in the running, but
was always unrealistic.
They weren't really realistic.
Cut to,
I think
signs.
The true no that they've gotten, the true no that they've gotten is from Scott Drew. And now you're just going down this list and you're wondering, okay, damn, who can be at the same level or higher than John Calipari? That was always the issue I had when there was discussions around him being fired for a $33 million buyout after this season. It's like, in the end of the day, when you fire somebody, you do have to realize and ask yourself the question, who can do it better? And I don't know if there's anybody in the country who can manage that type of expectation, that job, as well as John Calipari did for 15 years. Like, I don't know if there's anybody that you can count on to do that.
John Martin put it out there on Twitter, and I totally agree with him. It feels like Memphis 2009, because trying to fill the shoes of John Calipari is a big task, and it is why, when it was rumored that Kentucky may want to move on from John Calipari, we came on these airwaves and said, don't do it. Don't drive this man away.
At least think about it.
Think about it.
Think about
it. It's harder than you think.
Think about the aftershock and what you're going to have to deal with if he moves on. That's what we always have said.
They can still make a solid hire.
Sure.
But the home run is getting more and more difficult. There's one left.
There's one home run out there.
And it's
really tough.
And that
home run is a risky home run to go after. I mean, as much as you think Billy Donovan is that home run, and I agree, home run hire, along with Scott Drew, we would have been. But you have to wait 2, maybe 3, maybe 4 weeks until the bowls are done. And then at which point, you have to fill out a roster. And the transfer portal is spinning. People are plucking guys out and getting them to sign day by day by day. You're just putting yourself, if you wait around for Billy Donovan, you're putting yourself in a even more tremendous hole heading into next year. Now, again, all those losses could be recouped. If you get Billy Donovan on the back end and you have a tough year one, you know that you could eventually get those losses recouped year two, year three, year four.
Maybe that's how they're looking at it.
But I just still think it's a pretty substantial risk. And you do have to think about the fact Billy Donovan hadn't coached a college game since 14-15. And when he left, he had gotten tired of the day-in, day-out grind of college basketball as a whole. So I just think there's risks involved with this Billy Donovan thing, although I do believe that's the best hire they could make with the remaining candidate.
Do you think there's any chance, because there's still rumors out there that they are telling Hurley 8 years, $11 million a year. Do you think there's any chance he reconsiders?
No.
No.
They are. From what I understand, the reports that have been put out there, 8 years, $100 million is what was on the table. And it really,
it's a lot of money. Not
even, there wasn't even much of a thought for him.
It's interesting because it does seem like every time Hurley talks, it seems like he is interested in the job, but it very similar to Scott Drew.
It's like
I think
family.
His family is
I've
like,
won two. I'm worried about a three-peat. Yeah. I could be. I mean, the legendary status I'm growing here at UConn is phenomenal. And again, like the sweat equity that he had. I mean, he was 16 and 17, I think, his first year. Like he had to build up. They say, like, these last two national championships were earned by him and sticking with it. And also by UConn, by sticking by him through the tough times. So, I don't think there's any I don't even think that door is – I think that door is slam shut and locked. Same with Scott Drew, slam shut and locked. Same with Nate Oates, slam shut and locked. The doors that are open are Billy Donovan and Bruce Pearl. Those are the next two guys you need to go after and talk to. But we'll see, man. We'll see. This is a strange time for Kentucky basketball, and they have some work cut out for them this offseason and going to try to find a coach and then also recruiting a roster that can go win next year. So, again, we shall see. Now, we need to go ahead and transition as we need to get to our Memphis Showboats guest of the week, and that will be Delrick Abrams Jr. He's a cornerback, went to Colorado. He was at Last Chance U Season 3 with Independence Community College alongside Coach Jason Brown. So let's talk to him next about all that and more right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and we have our weekly Showboats guest, and that would be cornerback Delrick Abrams Jr. He is on X at Abrams Delrick Jr. Delrick, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, you know, getting ready for Birmingham this week. So, you know, trying to shake back from the L we had last week, you know, unfortunately. So, you know, to get back, really back in the lab, trying to get back right on, get another dub.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one right in front of the home crowd, but you'll have a bunch of shots back at it. But you had a good game last week. I want to congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
Now, with every single Showboats player I bring on here, I've read up on your story, but I need you to tell my listeners and tell everybody your story. You have an interesting one. You were at Colorado. You were a JUCO product. You were actually at Independence for Last Chance U. Were you with Jason?
Yeah.
You were with Jason.
Yeah. I'm with Coach Brown.
Yeah, so let my listeners know your story real quick, and then we'll talk through it.
Oh, come from a little small town, Louisiana. Graduated 50 people called Bonado, Louisiana. Very small town. We only have a red light there, so it's a stop sign there, you know. Very small town.
Yeah.
So got blessed to with the Independent Community College, another small town, but I love the journey there. JUCO, made a lot of close friend journey. Then I was blessed enough to have another opportunity to go to the University of Colorado Boulder. And from there, it was just a culture shock, you know, mountains, never really seen mountains there. So me and my mom took a visit there. We just love ever since then. Then, you know, went through culture change there. And I was blessed enough, got an opportunity with undrafted free agent to the Falcons. But there were DQ, Coach Witt, all done. You know, unfortunately, he got fired that year. So, you know, been through a whole little culture change. You know, still grinding, trying to, you know, now I'm in this league. You know, I was with Tampa Bay Bandit, then they changed Memphis Showboat again. Just trying to win. Trying to go all the way this time, you know. Yeah. I haven't been to championship yet. So that's where I go this year, trying to go all the way.
Yeah.
One game at a time.
Now, how do you feel, man, compared to when you started your career there? I mean, your professional career with the Falcons. You feel about the same? You trying to get back to the NFL here relatively soon?
Yeah, I'm trying to get back there. That's my goal, you know, my goal to get back there very soon. But, like, right now, I'm just focused on this league. I ain't ready.
Right.
thing about that right now is the same I say every day, be where your feet at. Like, yep. It's easy to say and hard to do, really, because you really got to set your mind, be where you're at right now. Be grateful you're here right now. So it's the reason why I'm here. So, you know, just keep be, you know, just keep folks right here, then God gonna take care of all the other stuff in front of me.
Now, you say you're from a small town in Louisiana. You say you got a stop sign. You don't have a light. What else is in town? I mean, as far as like, you have some fast food. You got a gas station.
Nah,
I mean, what else you got?
No. We call it the village. We call it the village. So it's the school, two gas stations, Dollar General, and a bingo hall. That's it. my where I'm from. Like that's it. So it's called one of those, but we call it the village. So that's something I take pride of, you know, being from a small town, and they see me doing what I did through my journey, and I went through the same stuff. So hopefully, you know, we keep pushing forward. It'd be more people after me. So it was, you know, that's my goal right there. So, you know.
Yeah. So you say you graduated with 50 people. Are you just about the only guy that made it out to play professional sports anywhere? Or are there any other people involved?
Yeah, it's one person. We call him my bro, like we brothers, basically. Andre Jones, he went to the University of Lafayette. Uh-huh. He played for the Washington Commanders right now. So it's before us, it was Otto Foster. He can graduate like that. 6 or 7, one of them. So. It's been time, but before that, it was like way before me, you know. We were blessed to have these two, so we had a couple people go to college from my school, but I was the first one in a long time made to a major D1 like Colorado, so, you know, it was something to see and put an eye, you know, it's good to show the kids that who was younger than me, because before me, I was just trying to look for myself. It was hard to see someone around my age doing it. So now I'm around, you know, I was around their age doing it. So they, you know, it brings a lot of hope to the town. You know, we talked with Andre Jones in the NFL right now. So he had a good rookie season. So it's, for us, you know, it's like showing the kids that you don't got to be, you know, sports can take you a long way, but college, life-wise, it can take you a long way. You don't got to do bad stuff. Stay focused on your dream. You might can't see light right now, but it's gonna soon like show. So that's our main focus down there.
So how much do you and Andre make it back? Do you do camps or anything back in your hometown?
Yeah, so he doing a camp this year, so we're gonna do a camp this year. So we try to go back every time we get a real chance to really go back and do, you know, I try to like this off season I try to go back to my school, helping out with football, you know, just show my face around there, trying to talk to them, you know, keep them focused. Like, hey, it's possible. Don't think it's not possible. It's anything possible you really put your mind to and stay focused to it. So I always try to go back, talk to them, you know, I let them know it's like some people, just, you know, just stay positive with them. Even at a school called, based on a little rivalry school, when I went to high school, Bolusa High School, I try to talk to them, like, if I see one of their football players, trying to talk to them. A quarterback that I went to Pearl River, so trying to tell him, like, you know, I went to JUCO route, it just stay focused, you know, just trying to help everybody around there, not just my area, you know, just trying to help everybody around there stay positive and keep going.
Yeah, now talking with Delrick Abrams Jr., he is a cornerback for the Memphis Showboats, had a good game last week, even though an L, but they're 1-1, they're headed in the right direction. Now tell me, I have to ask you about this experience at Independence, Kansas, man. You went from small town to small town, but that's a different type of small town there in Independence, Kansas.
Yeah, so the crazy thing about the Independence, Kansas, I didn't even know where it was. Like, I didn't get no offer out of high school. So I graduated high school with no offers.
Right.
I was all this, all come, all that. All-star game, all that. So I had no offers. So I was blessed enough, Coach Martin from California, he called me. I was working at Sun, he called me, pick up my phone, and I had an opportunity, like, you know, I want to offer you for Independent Community College. I'm like, huh? So I just look it up, trying to look at the pictures and stuff.
Right.
I said, okay, I'm just going. So and me being from Louisiana, never being really out of state, I got on a plane. My first time on the plane, went out there in Independent, Kansas. And it was a small town, but, you know, it was hard there trying to stay focused. You know, first time we were really away from home and in a new environment. So it was just hard, but, like, I stayed focused and just kept pushing through and just got my opportunity out there and just took off and go with it.
So you were on Last Chance. You I forget which season it was, but there was two seasons there when you were when you
season three.
Yeah. Now I know that Coach Brown, Jason Brown, he's a hothead. There's some reasons that he ended up getting ousted there. I completely understand that. I gotta ask you this though: how was it playing for him? Like what? Like when it comes to coaching, who he was as a guy, how he coached y'all. How was it playing for Jason Brown?
To be honest, for me wise, I can't speak for everybody else. For me wise, I ain't really had no problem with him. I was like to myself, I did my work, and I just go to the field, And he real passionate about the game, so that's why I think people like the owner, and he old school. That was like that how he got coached. So he, with Coach Brown, you gotta be tough. You gotta be tough under his skin, like, cause he gonna yell this and that. And sometimes he might forget what he really say. He didn't mean no harm for it, but that's just him. Like that's just even before the show, that's just him. Like
it's anybody who gets caught up in emotions though, too. If you act like the cameras aren't around there, you get caught up in emotions. Those cameras can catch some nasty things.
Yeah. So it was like he showed me that before the Last Chance shoot. So it was for me, it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. He was most on the offense. I already got coached on by my DC, my DB coach, Coach Martin. So he was tough on me, tough on me. Like, hey, he want everybody to be physical. It was easy for me, like, I'm a laid back guy. So just do what you got to do, and you don't got to really worry about him.
Yeah.
Just go to get your grade good, have your grade good, and perform the field. He really not going to bother you that much. That's my experience personally.
Yeah, and that's really what it is, man. Just be coachable. And also, like, especially with this new generation, you're probably a guy, you hard coaching, like, that's something I always invited. I went to the University of Memphis. I always invited hard coaching. I'll take that. I don't care.
Yeah, the thing about it, like, now they be listening. They yell. They yelling. No, it's not about yelling. Just listen to what they're saying.
Yes.
Not about what how their voice is. They yelling. And, like, you got to think about all the greatest coaches. Like, think about Lynn Saban. Like, all the Jim Harbaugh, I know they yell at practice, but you got to listen to the word. They try to hold their players accountable. So, the yelling, it's okay, but, some people can't really deal with it. Like, go forward with
it. Yeah. Now, did you ever get distracted by the camera crews around during season three?
Not really. Okay. Not really. I got a little camera time, but I'm not trying to be on the camera. Like, I'm really... Like I said, a laid back guy. I don't really like the cameras that much. So, they really did a good job not distracting us.
Yeah,
They ain't really trying to do too much in the game. They just had people mic up and camera, so they were not really too bad how it make it seem like it. So it really wasn't discretion.
Right.
Nothing discretion. If you know where you want to go, so just stay focused, really.
Right. Now, you went to Colorado. That's a long way from home and a long way from Independence, Kansas, too. How was your experience in Colorado? I know I grew up a Colorado fan, man, watching Gary Barnett back in the day. And obviously, y'all had some tough times at Colorado, and I'll get to Prime in a second. But what was your experience like at Colorado?
Man, it was one of the best things for me, like being away from home and just the experience of having – Coach McIntyre for my first year.
Yep.
He was a good coach. He was big on faith and all that.
And he can coach up some DBs now.
Coach up DBs.
Right.
So, and coming in at JUCO player, they trying to have you ready. Like, you got to be ready to play. So it was a good experience. The teammate there, I had a good teammate there. They were really trying to look out for you, Then my next year had Mel Tucker. So more physical, he wanted, physical SEC type thing. So it was all good experience. I learned how to adapt basically for my career experience to everything. Certain situation, like I couldn't, need that you could transfer. I couldn't transfer none of that. So I had to learn how to adapt to the situation. So that was my experience to Colorado. I learned a lot of things for different cultures.
Yeah. And speaking of not being able to transfer, these kids got it good these days, huh?
Yeah,
my gosh, they can transfer with they have no penalty. The courts ruled, hey, you can go wherever the hell you want.
Yeah, so my you had to sit out a year, so I but it's good for you because like sometimes in life you can't run from your problem.
Right.
So you gotta sit there and face it. So it was good for me to adapt to that situation. And, you know, I don't look back and, you know, I should transfer. Nah, I just love that, you know, the situation I was in. God put me there in that situation for a reason, so I was good.
No looking back, obviously, but how much would you have loved to be at Colorado right now? With Coach Prime, and how, obviously they have cameras around there too. You dealt with that at Independence, but
yeah.
they have a good thing going, man. It's awesome to watch what they have been able to do in just a year.
You got to think about it. I played corner, so getting coached by Coach Prime,
right?
Hall of Famer, cornerback, you know, top five defense player all time. So you got to like. Getting coached up by him, and he know the game, he know, and he going to push you and hold people accountable. So, like, that's the best thing, and he going to want the best for you.
Yes.
He ain't going to, you know, and it seemed like, you know, just camera-wise, like, he want the best for his player. Like, if you the best player, you going to play. So, it seemed like that'd be good for me at corner, really seeing have a, you know, and really getting coached up by the Hall of Famer, like, that'd be one of the best things. Like, if I were there right now, I just love, like, just love it, really, because, like, he, you know, you got Hall of Famer, like, coach, basically.
Yeah.
And all the stuff they doing around there, you know, trying to help you get better. So I feel like it'll be a good time for, you know, be in Colorado.
Yeah, and the whole NIL money thing and the personality thing. Yeah, that would have been nice, too.
And this year, we need to go all the way. That's my I watch every game. So, yeah, we need to go all the way.
Are you planning on making it back at some point?
I went back last year for a game, but I plan on making back if I get an opportunity, you know, get some free time to, you know, I love seeing, you know, they got, I feel like they got one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now.
Oh, 100%.
College, yeah.
100%. Shador can play.
His Travis Hunter, Joel, like Horn, like all them, like Travis, his other son, like they can play. So it's like, it's good to see them, you know, pretty having Colorado. Back to they, you know, the way. So it's good to see them really enjoying that and having Colorado back happy.
Baby. Yeah, and it was just nice last year too, because I grew up a Colorado fan. To see like the Nebraska and Colorado game mean something, to see the Colorado State and Colorado game mean something. You know what I mean? To see it on national TV, to see it followed the way it was. Colorado's a national brand. And that's how it was, you know, in the 90s and the early 2000s. So I'm glad to see it's all back there. But I'll let you go. I know you have other things to do, but Delrick, I appreciate it, man. Good luck coming up this weekend in Birmingham.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. That is Delrick Abrams Jr. He's a cornerback for the Memphis Showboats. He will be in action. Make sure you check it out. They will be they'll be playing this Saturday, 6 p.m. in Protective Stadium, the new stadium in Birmingham, against the Birmingham Stallions. They're 1-1 thus far. Tough game last week against the Brahmas. Brahmas came back and ultimately won. But this season looks good. I to be honest with you, I talked about the UFL product. The product looks great. But the Showboats, they're giving us something to root on. That is a fun team, a good team, good product to watch. But you can follow Delrick on X at Abrams Delrick Jr. Now let's go ahead and transition up out of here. We'll go from one guest to another guest. We start hour two with Jeff Calkins every single day, so we'll go ahead and do that coming up right after this break.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers Talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers. Say, play 92.9 ESPN. The Jeff Calkins Show, where Memphis sports stories turn into unforgettable radio memories.
People are talking about the depth of this team, and when you stop and think about it, it's pretty remarkable.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11 on 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
For decades, Mississippi Land Bank has been rooted in relationships in North Mississippi. We know agriculture because we live it every day. By helping young farmers get started, like Jay Darnell in Lee County.
Our relationship with Land Bank began several years ago when we decided to increase our operation. An additional cattle herd that we use for our F1 program. Just had a great relationship with Mississippi Land Bank.
Mississippi Land Bank. Advocates for agriculture, rooted in relationships.
Whoa, Howie, that's a lot of diamonds. What's going on?
We're about to launch the biggest natural loose diamond event we've had in the history of Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Any shape, any size?
Yes, natural loose diamonds for any budget. Plus, get a free men's wedding band with every natural loose diamond purchase. 0% interest for up to 5 years. See a store for complete details.
It's the biggest natural loose diamond and bridal event this weekend at the South Lake Center location in South Haven.
Robert Irwin Jewelers, home of the meant-to-be guarantee, upgrades are welcome.
Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices. And when you download the Kroger app, you can enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. So it's easy to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on 6-packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or Canada Dry. Select varieties are just $3.49 each with your card and digital coupon. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Found the roof leak.
Where?
See those shingles?
Oh, what do we do now?
I pity the fool. You need the A-Team.
What?
A-Team Roofing in Collierville, one of only two diamond contractors in the Mid-South. They're a licensed general contractor, but also a licensed insurance adjuster. When it comes to insurance approval, the decision really is in the details.
Well, yeah.
Get your roof done right. Call the A-Team, 901-605-ROOF.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
You okay?
I'm A-OK.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
Let's talk about Zen Sports, the new sports book in Tennessee that's bringing sports betting to a whole new level. When you sign up for Zen Sports, you'll automatically earn up to a $1,000 no-danger first wager. If your first bet loses, you'll be reimbursed for the amount of your bet up to $1,000. Zen Sports offers true odds on all parlays and boosted same-game parlays for all Tennessee sports teams. That means boosted up to 20% over other sports books in Tennessee. And there is even more good news. Zen Sports offers a one-of-a-kind VIP rewards program. If you qualify, you'll earn monthly comps at sporting events, concerts, you name it. Even sportsbook bonuses. The VIP program is by invite only, so if you feel that your Zen Sports play qualifies for VIP consideration, check out the program details and apply at zensports.com/VIP. So what are you waiting for? The daily game, same game, parlay boosts go quick. So get going and download their app at zensports.com today. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. No danger wager limited to plus 500 odds to qualify. Boosted odds are derived from equivalent parlay bets offered in Tennessee. Must be 21 plus and in Tennessee to bet.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.